How would you answer the question, do you know God? If this were in a class format and I were just to call you by name and said, do you know God? How would you answer? I would think you would say, well, sure I know God. I absolutely know God. I want to suggest to you that you can know about God and still not know God. So again, the question is, do you know God? Perhaps you're often asked this question. I am asked this question quite frequently. Do you know? And then someone gives me a name. Do you know John Doe? Do you know Jane Doe? Have brethren call me about some preacher. Do you know? And they'll call his name. We want to know something about what he teaches and should we have him for a meeting or should we have him move here and work with us? Do you know John Doe? And I often respond saying, yeah, I know who he is, but I know very little more than that. I really don't know him well. I can't tell you anything about him, good or bad. I just know who he is. And perhaps you've been asked that question, do you know someone? And they name someone and you say, well, yeah, I know who they are, but I don't know anything about them. I don't know them very well at all. I don't know them very well at all. I want to suggest to you that many people do not know God. So let's start in our text by looking at the book of Exodus chapter 5 and in verse 2. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, Moses and Aaron went and told Pharaoh that the Lord God of Israel said, let my people go. They didn't say, we're asking that. They said, the Lord God of Israel is telling you to let my people go. And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. I don't know who he is. Now, wait a minute, Pharaoh, are you saying you've never heard of him? You just did hear of him in the request that Moses and Aaron had made. Oh, yeah, he had heard of him. He doesn't know him. Many people do not know God. Let's go to the New Testament this time. Do you remember in the preaching of Paul in Acts chapter 17? Let's go over to Acts chapter 17. And I want you to notice at verse 22 and 23, as he goes to Areopagus, that he stood in the midst of Areopagus and he said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're very religious. For I was passing through and considered the objects of your worship and I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Just in case they missed one somewhere, they made an inscription to the unknown God and he said, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. They did not know God. Pharaoh didn't know, the Athenians didn't know. Let's go to 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse 12, you remember the sons of Eli were wicked men and they were corrupt, the text says. They did not know the Lord. Had they never heard of the Lord? No, they had heard of the Lord. Did they not know anything about the Lord? No, they knew some things about the Lord. But the text says they were evil. They did not know the Lord. The sons of Eli did not know the Lord. And do you realize that even most of the world, even those that are religious, do not know the Lord. Now Matthew 7 comes from the other direction where it says, the Lord would say concerning some, depart from me, ye who work lawlessness, for I never knew you. The Lord saying, I don't know you. Not only do they not know the Lord said, I don't know you. Well, I thought the Lord knew everything. Not in this sense, he didn't. He didn't know them. We'll talk about what that means in a moment. And so if Pharaoh might be guilty of not knowing the Lord, the Athenians may not know, the sons of Eli, and even most of the world, then it's possible I may not know the Lord. So let me ask you again, do you know God? Are you sure you know God? That is not a question, do you know something about God? Do you know he exists? But do you know God? Do you truly know God? Let's talk about knowing God this morning. Do you know God. Let's start with this. Let's talk about what it means to know God. Someone said, well, I'm getting from this, what you said so far in your introduction, that knowing God and knowing about God's different things, you're right. And it's possible one can know something about God and know something about the scriptures and still not know God. You're right. So now I'm confused. What does it mean to know God? Well, let's go in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. And let's look at some things in the context of Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, and let's look at verses 8 and 9. We'll start there and then we'll back up a few verses. But then indeed, when you did not know God, there's our subject we're talking about. You serve those who are by nature not gods. But now after you've known God, or rather known by God. All right, we've got a lot to unpack from just those two verses, but let's back up just a little bit. Let's go back to verse 5. We're trying to get a picture of what does it mean to know God. He just talked about that in 89, but prior to that, look at verse 5. To redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoptions as sons. Here is a picture of God adopting us into His family, and God has made us His son. Now let's just stop there for a moment. Forget about the text. If you've been adopted into a family, and I were to ask you, after you've been in that family for a while, do you know them? And you'd say, well, of course I do. You're talking about my parents. You're talking about those that I'm the son of them. They adopted me as their son. I know him quite well. So go back now to verse 5. God has adopted us and made us His sons. Let's go further. Look at verse 6. We cry out to God, Abba, Father. That's Aramaic for Father. Father, Father. Our relationship to Him is as a child to the Father. He is our Father. We are His child. He's adopted us as His sons. That sounds like a very close relationship. That it's a parent to a child relationship. Let's go further. Prior to them being adopted as sons and being able to say, Father, Father, look at verse 8 now, our text. But indeed, when you did not know God, you serve those who are by nature no gods. You see, before you were adopted, you didn't know God. Back when you were living the Gentile life and serving idols, you didn't know God. But now, verse 9. Now you know God. But notice what he says in verse 9. After that you have known God, or rather, another way of looking at it is, you are known by God. There are people I know, but they don't know me. Name some people in town that are business people that nearly everybody in town knows, and you say, do you know? Oh yeah, I know them. I know who they are. You go to them and ask, do you know who Donnie Rader is? No, they don't know who he is. I know the governor. He doesn't know me. I may know some of your friends or some of your family, but they don't know me. There are people you know that don't know you. Look again at verse 9. In this context, to know God, in the sense of knowing God, is to be known by God. Not only do you know God, but God knows you. Remember some we noticed a moment ago who God would say, I never knew you. Oh, God knew who they were. That's why he's condemning them. He knew who they were. He knew a lot about them, but he didn't have a relationship with them. So to know God is to have a relationship with God. It means a close relationship where we know him very well. Very close relationship with God as a father to a son, verse 5, where we cry, Abba, Father. A relationship we didn't have before we were adopted as his son. So what I learned from Galatians chapter 4 is that knowing God means a very close relationship with God. But let's go to another text. We're going to find this expression, knowing God, found all through the Bible. We're going to learn a lot about knowing God from this expression. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 8. He said, he that does not love does not, here's our phrase, know God, for God is love. You see, God has this characteristic of love about him. And if you don't develop the same characteristic that God has, then the text says you don't know God. You say, well, I know God. I know who he is. I read about him. I can tell you all that the scripture, I memorized all. I know all of that. No. You don't have the same characteristics of God. So to know God means you take on the characteristics of God. He is a God of love, and so you take on the characteristic of God. We could go on. He's a forgiving God. You take on the characteristics of forgiveness. That's what it means to know God. Knowing God is far more than knowing that he is. That is, he exists and he's real. You say, I've looked at the evidence. I studied the evidence. I've listened to those sermons and classes. And I know there is evidence of a God. And I know he is existing and he's real. I know that. Okay? That doesn't mean we know God. Not in this sense. It is far more than knowing something about God. So again, let me ask you the question in light of what we've just seen. Do you know God? Do you have a close relationship with God? Do you know him very well? Is it like the father to a son or a son to a father? Is it one where you take on the characteristics of God? Far more than knowing that he exists and that he's real. Secondly, let's talk about the claim to know God. There are people in the Bible that made the claim, I know God, but they didn't. So that tells me that I could be making the claim and I may not know God. Let's talk about the claim. Let's talk about apostate Israel. Let's go back in our Old Testament to the book of Hosea, chapter 8 and in verse 2. Chapter 8 and verse 2. Said Israel will cry to me, my God, we know you. What a claim. Israel cries out to God, God, we know you. Do they know God? Well, let's see. Look at verse 4, same context. Drop down two verses. They set up kings, but not by me. They made princes but I did not acknowledge them. And from silver and gold they made idols for themselves that they might be cut off. What did Israel do? They made gods. They sinned. Now that's in chapter 8. Let's go to chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5. Look at verse 11. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment. Because he willingly walked by human precepts. What did Israel do? They set up their own gods, they rejected the true God, and they did what they wanted rather than listening to God. Now remember what they said in chapter 8 and verse 2. They said, we know God. They made that claim. Let's go to chapter 7 while we're in the book of Hosea. Go to chapter 7 and look at verse 16. They make changes, but not genuine. In other words, they return, but not to the Most High. That happened quite often in the Old Testament. They may quit idolatry, but they didn't return back to God with a true heart. Quitting idolatry wasn't enough. They didn't come all the way back to God. There may be a reformation going on in the nation, like under Josiah, but they didn't come back true to God. So they turn. They made changes. It's like the drunkard quits drinking, but he doesn't turn back to God. That's what they had done. Let's go again. Let's look at chapter 8 in verse 2 again. Go back to chapter 8 in verse 2. They make the cry, even though they have their idols, even though they turn but not to God, they make the cry, we know you, God. But now look at verse 3. Israel has rejected the good. The enemy will pursue him. They've cast off the good. They've rejected the God of heaven. So what did I learn from that? I just learned that apostate Israel made the claim, we know God, but they really didn't know God. There's a lesson to learn from that, and we'll come back to that in a moment. Let's go now to the New Testament. Let's go to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1. Paul left Titus on the island of Crete to work and to preach among the people there and to appoint elders in the church and to work against sin and against error. And so we see a book that addresses those issues. So let's go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. Speaking of the Cretans, the text says they profess to know God. Here is that claim. But in their works they deny being abominable, disobedient, disqualified for every good work. They profess they know God. If you'd ask the Cretans, do you know God? Oh, we know God. Let's see some things about the Cretans. Let's back up to verse 9. There was going to have to be the addressing of false teaching. Among the Cretans, there were false teaching, where the elders were to be appointed that they may exhort and convince those who contradict. who were not walking according to sound doctrine. Verse 10, verse 11, and verse 12 suggest that they were indeed dishonest. For there are many who are insubordinate, idle talkers, deceivers. Drop on down to verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. They're deceivers, they're dishonest. And one of their own prophets, verse 12, said of the Cretans, they're always liars. That's the same people, verse 16. We know God. We know God. We want you to know that we know God. Look at verse 14, same context. They turn from the truth, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. Verse 16, our text, said they were disobedient, they are abominable. And yet they make the claim, we know God. What am I learning from the case of apostate Israel and the Cretans? I'm learning from that when I make the claim, that doesn't mean I know God. I could be making the claim, you could be making the claim as well. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. And you say, well, I understand the Cretans. I got that. And I understand apostate Israel. But I think if a Christian today says, I know God, he probably knows God. Well, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, 3, and 4 and see if that was the case. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. By this we know that we know him. Here's our idea of knowing God. If we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, there's the claim. That's what the Cretans said. And that's what apostate Israel said. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. In other words, they make the claim, sure we know God. Why would you even ask? I'm insulted that you would ask, do I know God? Sure we know God. And yet they were not close to him at all. That can happen to me. It might happen to you. I might say, I know God and I'm not close to God at all. I don't have a close relationship with God. Maybe I spend very little time talking to God or listening to God. What if I ask you about somebody and you say, oh, I'm real close. We're real close friends. I mean, we're just like that. We're just very, very, very close. I know him very well. When have you talked to him? Oh, it's been months and months and months. Well, when the last time they talked to you, did you? I ignored most everything they said. But you're real close, are you? Are you listening to God? Are you talking to God? Do you let minor things separate you from your God? Could you make a claim that I really know this person well? I know them, that we're very, very close, but minor things separate us. And other things are more important than my relationship to them. And so again, I ask you the question, do you know God? See, I could be making the claim like apostate Israel, like these dilatory Christians, or like the Cretans, that I know God when I may not really know God. But let's go further. Let's talk about ways to not know God. I know it's possible to not know God. What are some ways that I might be guilty of not knowing God? Let's go to Job 18. This is the case where Bildad is talking about Job. The principle that he talks about is true. He's wrong in his application to Job. Quite often, Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar were saying good Bible doctrine. You reap what you sow. They're just wrong in their application. Here's what Bildad said. He said, surely such are the dwelling of the wicked, and this is the place of him who does not know God. What I want you to see is that he equates the wicked and living wicked with those who do not know God. And Bildad was right about that. And Job would agree with that. And so would God. That if you live wicked, you don't know God. So you say, how could I be guilty of not knowing God? If I'm guilty of any form of wickedness, then I don't know God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You say, well, I don't know that I would classify what I do as wickedness. But what about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 5? Let's back up in the context. And notice that beginning at verse 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. In other words, maintain sexual purity. Abstain from fornication. All right, I got that. Verse 4, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Control your body so that you don't yield. Verse 5, not in passion of lust. Control your thoughts. Don't commit the sin. Control your body. Control your body by controlling your thoughts. Not in passions of lust. Now notice what the rest of the verse says. Not like the Gentiles who do not know God. In other words, the Gentiles were living in passions of lust. They're fulfilling their lust. They're doing whatever their heart desires. They look, they lust, and they go, and they do what they want. It might be material things, it might be sensual things, but they lust and they seek after their lust. They're living in passions of lust. And therefore, they do not know God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. I'm just listing ways that I'm finding in the text. It says, this is a way that you may not know God. Look at 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. I may not know God by simply not obeying God. We're getting closer to home now. You say, I wouldn't classify myself as that wicked person that Bildad talked about. It didn't describe Job and it doesn't describe me. All right, fair enough. What about pursuing your lust and your passion and fulfilling the desires of your passion? You don't know God. We're getting closer to home now. Let's look at verse 3 and 4, 1 John chapter 2. By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. John said, you want to know if you know God? Here's the test. Do you keep his commandments? He that says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. So how could I be guilty of not knowing God but just simply not obeying? Well, I might know who he is. I might even know what he says. And I pick up his word and I see that I know what it says, but then I just don't do what I know I need to be doing. I don't know God. Let's go to chapter 4, 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 4 and look at verse 8. I might be guilty by not loving my brother. He that does not love his brother does not know God, for God is love. Now, all through the context of 1 John, particularly chapter 3, this is in chapter 4, but particularly in chapter 3, the idea of hating your brother means you don't love him as you should. Doesn't mean you despise him. I just don't love him. I'm not showing the love. I'm not manifesting the love. You say, well, I love my brethren. Are you manifesting that love? So if I'm not loving my brother, I don't know God. Now, let's look at the ways in which we've just talked about living wicked. That is the idea of rebellion, rebelling against God. You say, I'm not guilty of that. But I cannot know God by just serving myself, what I want, my own lust, my own desires. I'm not suppressing my own desires and yielding to the will of God, so I'm doing whatever I want to do. Thirdly, I might be guilty of just neglecting. It's not what I'm doing that's evil, it's what I'm not doing. I may not know God. Or it may be my attitude. So you see, I could be guilty of not knowing God by rebelling. You say, I don't do that. All right, are you serving self? Oh, no, I don't do that. Are you neglecting things that you know you need to be doing? What about my attitude toward others? Am I guilty of not knowing God? Let me ask you again the question, do you know God? See, that's not as easy to answer as we thought maybe at the beginning. At the beginning, the thought was maybe, oh, yeah, sure I know God. I might be neglecting. I might not have the right attitude. I might be serving self. I might not know God like I should. Now let's talk about why man does not know God. Why is it that my neighbor doesn't know God? Why is it that some of my brethren don't know God? Like 1 John, we just mentioned. Why is it that I might be guilty of not knowing God? What's the reason for that? Start with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, 21. It might be simply that I'm listening to the wisdom of men versus the wisdom of God. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Here's our expression, not knowing God. Now, wait a minute, Paul, what did you just say? Did you say that the world didn't know God? That's exactly what he said. Look at verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, for it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. In other words, the gospel message was preached to the world. They rejected it, saying, that's foolish. We're not interested in that. So they listen instead of to God's revelation. They listen to the wisdom of men. He said they didn't know God. So why does your neighbor not know God? He's probably more tuned to the wisdom of men, what maybe scientists are saying, falsely so, than the revelation of God about the creation of the world. They may be listening to philosophers more than the revelation of God on how to live a life and how to be happy and how to have a family. They may be listening to religious leaders more than they do the revelation of God about how to worship, what to do to be saved. They don't know God. You say, well, that's true of my neighbors, that's true of the world. But what about my brethren? We could be just as guilty of rejecting the revelation of God, and I'm going to listen to the wisdom of men, what men may say without looking at the revelation of God. But here's something else. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, the Gentile world. They didn't know God. And the text says they did not retain God in their knowledge. Look at Romans chapter 1. Now, this is a chapter, as you're turning there, that's stating the fact that Gentiles are in sin and they need salvation. They need the gospel. They're in terrible condition. Jews are no better, chapter 2, but we're focusing on the Gentiles. And notice at verse 1, that even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind, to do those things that are not fitting. They didn't retain God in their knowledge. If they don't retain God in their knowledge, they don't know God. What does it mean they don't retain God in their knowledge? Are you saying they never heard about God? No, that's not what it means. It means they don't think about God. Or they may know about God. They may even say they believe in a God. I believe in a higher being. I believe in a creator. But they don't think about God. In making decisions about life, making decisions about family, how they're going to live, they don't think about God. And furthermore, they push any recognition of God and His Word aside. Well, I know what God said, but they push that aside. They do not retain. Apparently God was in their knowledge, but they didn't retain it, didn't keep it there. They push it aside. So why does man not know God? He doesn't retain God in his knowledge. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's talk about Samuel for a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and in verse 7. You remember the time when God is calling for Samuel. And Samuel goes running to Eli, saying, you called for me, did you? I'm paraphrasing that, of course. Eli would say, no, I didn't call for you. Go lie down. Now look at verse 7. Let's get verse 6. The Lord called again, saying, Samuel. And so Samuel rose and ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call for you, my son. Go lie down. Now look at verse 7, an explanation. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Does that mean Samuel didn't know anything about the Lord? No. What do you mean he didn't know the Lord? Well, he explains. Look again at verse 7. Nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Here's what I'm learning from that. To look at the revelation of God and to accept the revelation of God and learn the revelation of God is part of knowing the Lord. So why does John Doe not know the Lord? John Doe doesn't know the Lord because he's not looked at the Word. He hasn't looked at the revelation of God. Well, he's heard about God. He's heard people talk about God. He's got a copy of the Bible. He's perused through that and he's read. But he hasn't looked into the Word. He doesn't know anything about the Lord. He hadn't read. He hadn't studied. He hadn't considered. He fails to delve into the Word. You say, but I'm a Christian and I go to church and I've got a Bible and I carry it with me every Sunday. But are you delving into the Word to learn the revelation of God? Eli, or the text says concerning Samuel, not Eli, but Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the Word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Until you look at the revelation of God, you're not going to know God. Until you delve into the Word. Maybe we're not real students of the text. Oh, we've got a Bible and we know something about it, but we're not students of the text. We don't have a clue the difference between Romans and Revelation. And if I ask on the spot, we couldn't tell you the difference in the two books because we're not real students. What's the difference in the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers? What's the point? Don't have a clue because we haven't delved into the text. Are you a real student of the text? Are you looking at the word? Now, Judges 2 is an important text. Let's go to verse 10. We've talked about it recently, particularly on Wednesday night as we're studying through Psalms. And I want you to notice in Judges chapter 2 and in verse 10, after the days of Joshua, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them that did not know the Lord, there's our phrase, nor the work that he had done for Israel. We pointed out Wednesday night in our study from Psalm 78 that Psalm 78 gives me the answer as to why. This text doesn't tell me why. There arose another generation after them that didn't know the Lord. Well, why? Why didn't they know the Lord? Judges didn't tell us. Judges 2 didn't tell me immediately. Psalm 78 gives me the clue. One generation was to teach the next generation, and that failed somewhere, somehow. And so you say, well, why do some people not know God? Because they were not taught, and maybe we assume they know. We assume our children are going to know what we know. Listen to me carefully as I suggest, because you have a good understanding of the scheme of redemption, and you think because you know that, your children automatically will know that, you are sadly mistaken. If you have a good understanding of the work of the church and you say, I've got that, we don't need to hear those sermons about the work of the church and what's wrong with churches supporting things. I don't need to hear that. I know it. And you think your children are automatically going to know it? You are sadly mistaken. If you think the first principles you know, your children are going to know, it ain't going to happen. We assume they know what we know. We assume they will inherit our faith. I know that God is real. I know there is evidence of the existence of God. I don't need to really go over that with my children because they were raised in the church, and so I just assume they're going to inherit my faith. I am sadly mistaken because they will not inherit my faith. And so why do some people not know God? They haven't been taught. And we assume that they know. I don't understand. My children don't know God. That may be why. I ask you again, do you know God? Do you really know God? That leads us to the question, how do I get to know God? How do I know God? You may be sitting here saying, I'm wondering, I don't know that I know God like I should. So how do I get to know God? How do I get to know God? I'm going to get to know God through Christ. Let's turn to John 14. The screen starts with verse 7. I'm going to start with verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let that sink in for a moment before we go to verse 7. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life, and no one has access to the Father except they come through me. You say, I want to know God. All right? Jesus just said, you ain't going to know God except through me. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you will know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long that you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? You see, Jesus is the way to the Father. He declares the Father to us. If I want to know God, I'm going to know through the revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, how can I get to know God? Look at that book right in front of you and start opening it up and reading and studying. And through that revelation of Christ, you're going to get to know the Father. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. You say, I want to get to know him very well. I want to have that close relationship with him. Verse 8 said, at the time you didn't know God. And then verse 9 says that now that you know God are known by God. Remember that? That close relationship with him. We know God and we're known by God. Remember verse 5, you're adopted as sons. We're in Galatians, by the way. Pay attention. You're in Galatians. Galatians 4. You say, what's the big deal about Galatians? You'll see. Galatians 4. You know God now. You didn't know God before. You were adopted as sons. Verse 5. Galatians 3. Same book. Same people who were adopted and now know God were those who are now children of God. In other words, adopted as sons when they were baptized into Christ. You say, I want to know God, but I haven't been baptized. You never come into that close relationship where you know Him very well, where you know Him as your Father until you're baptized into Christ. That's why I emphasize Galatians. I again ask you, do you know God? Have you looked at the revelation of Christ to learn more about your God so you can know Him? And have you become a child of God through being baptized into Christ? And finally, knowing God affects our eternity. This is not a trivial thing. By that, I mean, it's not that, okay, I know some things and I don't know some things, but it doesn't really matter because we're all on the road to heaven anyway. You say, preacher, you keep asking this question, do you know God? And I don't know if I know God or not, but what difference does that make? I'm on the road to heaven. No. Knowing God affects your eternity. 2 points we want to see. Let's start with this. Let's go to John 17, 3. Knowing God leads to eternal life. See, that was an important question we started with. Do you know God? Do you know God? Because what I'm asking is, are you headed to eternal life? Look at verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you. Jesus is praying for the disciples. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus was praying about the disciples and said, this is eternal life, that they should know you. There's a connection between knowing God and eternal life. Knowing God leads to eternal life. Do you know God? You say, no, I don't know Him. Not like you've been talking about. I don't know Him very well. I'm concerned about your eternal life. But let's go again. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. I said 2 points. This is the second. Not knowing God leads to destruction. That's just the opposite. Paul said, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who... Are you reading carefully? Taking vengeance on those who do not know God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. He's coming, doing what? He's going to take vengeance on those that do not know God. You see, knowing God affects your eternal salvation or damnation. So again, I ask you the question, do you know God? Do you know God? Well, what have we seen in our study this morning? The Bible talks about people who did not know God, and they said they didn't know. Pharaoh said, I don't know Him. I don't know who you're talking about. The Athenians admitted they didn't know Him. So we saw what it means to know God. It means to know Him very well, have a close relationship. There are those that make the claim, but they don't know God. We saw ways that we may not know God, and we see why man doesn't know God, but we also saw how to get to know God and how it has to do everything to do with our eternity. One more time, let me ask you the question, do you know God? And you say, no, I don't know Him. Would you come to know your God this morning? Be adopted as His son by being baptized into Christ, like Galatians 3 says, that then you can cry out, Abba, Father. And then it could be said concerning you, there was a time you didn't know God, but now you know God, or rather known by God. Would you become a child of God even this very morning? If you're subject in any way, would you come while together we stand and while we sing?